Psalm 90. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you gave birth to the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn man back into dust and say, "Return, O children of men." For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it passes by, or as a watch in the night. You have swept them away like a flood. They fall asleep. In the morning they are like grass which sprouts anew. In the morning it flourishes and sprouts anew, and towards evening it fades and withers away. And we've been looking at this psalm and the gift of this psalm, probably the oldest psalm in our Bible, definitely within the collection of the book of Psalms. And we learned that that being that oldest psalm, who's the author of it? I know God, but who's the human author of it?
Moses.
And so that several thousand years before the collection of this, and Moses is meditating, do you recall? What section of the Bible is he meditating on?
Genesis.
The book of Genesis. What chapters?
1 and 5.
Basically 1 through 3, but he does go into 5. He's just meditating on the origins of the earth there. And he says in verse 1, "Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations, from generation to generation to generation. He is our habitation. He is our God. He is the one in whose house we have been born in, even as natural men and women." And definitely being born again by His grace, we are in that house forever. Amen? A slave is not in the house forever, but those who are of the Son are in that house forever, because the Son is forever. And the Lord has been our dwelling place. And the emphasis here in these first 6 verses is the contrast between, I'm going to word it this way, the length of days that God has versus the length of days that man has. And so you see in verse 1, He is our dwelling place. Verse 2, "Before the mountains were born, or you gave birth to the earth and to the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are who? You are God." And so when you're talking about length of days, and you know the Bible uses another phrase to describe our God, He's called the Ancient of what? The Ancient of Days. And so from everlasting past, if you want to word it that way, all the way prior to the creation of the material universe, the material world, and even after that earth is changed into the new heavens and new earth, continuing as far forward as you would like, from everlasting to everlasting, He is God. And we saw that there were certain corollaries out of this. First of all, there has been and only is and only will be one God forever. In other words, the material universe, man thinks, is eternal. You talk about evolution, you talk about the sciences of today, they teach the origin of the universe, it came through the what? Who recalls the phrase?
The Big Bang.
So there you had all this material out there. Evidently that material is eternal because they don't know where it came from, and all of a sudden, boom! And from that center, the universe has been expanding ever since then. So they call it the Big Bang. And of course, the Bible here denies that the material universe is eternal. The material universe is not from everlasting to everlasting. No, it's the one who created all things out of nothing. He is from everlasting to everlasting. And so the material universe has not always been. How long has God been? Forever. Right? We could just sum it up in that one word. Well, if you take a look at verse 3, now he's going to contrast that with man. Now, human beings think that We're something, don't we? We think that we're tough stuff, that we're strong, and, you know, we can do it, and here we are, all right? Let's contrast man to the eternal God. It says in verse 3, "You turn man back into dust and say, 'Return, old,'" I'm going to translate this a little different, "'old sons of Adam.'" And of course, this is referring to man's what? Man fell, right? He disobeyed God, and because of that, death entered into the material world, and death by sin, so that death spread upon all men, because all men in that head, Adam, did what? Sinned. And so, what was the punishment for that? From dust you are, and to dust you will return. And so God did this, right? It's because of our violation, because of the penalty that was made known to man. God turns man back to the dust. How did he do it? By his word. He said, "Return, all sons of Adam." And then we saw in verse 4 this comparison with God being from everlasting to everlasting to human time. And it says, "For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it passes by, or as a flood, or as a watch in the night." And we saw that he's not giving us some kind of chronology of the history of the world. He's not saying, well, you got 6 days, and the seventh day is the eternal day, so man's going to live 6,000 years, and then 5,000 years, and then you have a 1,000-year reign, and then you have the new heavens and new earth. He's not saying that at all. He's just making a contrast between himself and man. This is what Moses is meditating on. And so 1,000 years in the eyes of God is like 24 hours past. And I wrote down in my notes, I think I mentioned this last week, what is one past day in light of 365,000 days? It's nothing, right? And that's the way it is to God. Or it's like this, it's like a watch in the night. A watch is 4 hours. So if you narrow down a day to just a watch, that's what it's like to God. And that really is intended, if we would meditate on that, God would become very big in our eyes, and we would become very what? Very small. In other words, man's life is so brief. It's like a vapor, right? Man's life is so brief that in the eyes of God, it really doesn't bear any significance. That's the comparison that he's giving to us here. Now we saw here, or I made the suggestion, if we go over to Genesis chapter 5, that Moses is probably thinking about that pre-flood era in which man lived about how long?
1,000 years.
Well, he lived about 1,000 years, right? And so if you think about it, here's 1,000 years. And down in verse 5, you had Adam living 930 years. And verse 5 says, but he lived 930 years, and then he what? And then he died. His body returned to the dust. Now, I was talking to my wife, thinking about the message, and just thinking about this passage. And I made this suggestion to her. You know, if we lived, can you imagine living 1,000 years? And I made this suggestion before. I mean, that really makes "till death do you part" pretty serious, right? You're talking about 900-year marriage, okay? But what about this, ladies? How many children could you have in 900 years? And my wife and I are talking about that. We don't know the cycle of life pre-flood, okay? So if you had, let's say you've been married 800 years, and let's say you had one every year, that's only 800 children. Well, what if you say, okay, it's not that, let's take into account maybe you're breastfeeding or doing something. Let's say you have one every 5 years. Okay, well, that's still over 300 or 400 children. That's like having a village, right? That's a lot of children. And so surely when God said to man, be fruitful and multiply, okay, that pre-flood era definitely was generating human beings. You just think about all that that is going on. It's quite astonishing, isn't it? And so here you got that 1,000 years. Seth lived 912 years and he died. And you got Enoch. He was the exception. He was only with God 365 years. And he walked with God, and God did what? God took him. And then you got Lamech right before Noah, 777 years. Noah was 500 years old when the flood came. And in Genesis chapter 9, verse 29, Moses writes through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that all the days of Noah was 950 years. And guess what he did? He died. He returned to the dust just like God said he would. And so even that pre-flood era, now think about it. Let's say you lived 1,000 years. That means that you would say, if I lived 1,000 years, I would say to you, you say, now, Pastor, when was your birthday? I would say it was August 3rd, 1120. 1120 A.D. That's when I was born. That is beyond comprehension, isn't it? To be able to live that long. And you can imagine the mercies of God. We know this. You think about what we studied last Sunday morning when it says that unless the days of the tribulation had been cut short. Okay. Think about all the multiplication of evil you've seen in your short life. What if man lived 1,000 years today? See, God is merciful, is he not? Okay, and so here God has shown us this, that even that pre-flood era, 1,000 years, a man living 1,000 years in God's sight is like yesterday. That makes us pretty insignificant. And that brings us to verses 5 and 6. It says, you have swept them away like a flood. They fall asleep. In the morning they are like grass which sprouts anew. In the morning it flourishes and sprouts anew. Toward evening it fades and withers away. Now, if I'm correct, and perhaps that reference to 1,000 years in verse 4 is referring to the pre-flood era, how interesting is it that in verse 5, Moses writes, you swept them away like a what? Like a flood. And that really is the way, regardless of the pre-flood era, that really is the way that we too are swept away. Illnesses come, they're always unexpected, right? Terminal things hit us. And so it's like a flood that just comes in. You may see it coming, but all of a sudden, whew, it's there. And man is gone. But God definitely swept away that pre-flood generation like a flood. And they fell asleep. They died. That's what the falling asleep means. They died. And then Moses is thinking about this. And he said, you know what? Man is like grass. And that's what I want us to look at here this evening. In the morning, they are like grass which sprouts anew. Now note verse 5, what he's saying here. Man is like what? Grass. You swept them away like a flood. They fall asleep. When you think about falling asleep, what time period do you think about? Nighttime. When do you wake up? In the morning. Okay. So man falls asleep, but in the morning they are like grass which sprouts anew. And what he's saying here is this. Man is in constant renewal. Generations come, generations what? Go. Man lives, man dies. Man born, he lives. He what? He dies. Men are born. In other words, there's this cycle that is even mentioned in the book of Ecclesiastes, right? You've got this cycle, and we too will be this way. We're like grass, right? You look out one day, and here we are, and the grass is there, and it's in the morning, it's in the newness of life, it's that little baby that you hold in your hand. Everybody loves a baby, right? You take a baby, if you really want to get excitement, take a baby to a nursing home. There is just thrill and joy. The reason is, it reminds us of our youth. It reminds us of life. It's refreshing, isn't it? Because when you're in a nursing home, you're not in the morning of life, you're in the evening of life. And so you think that way. So what he's saying is, all right, you sweep them away like a flood, they fall asleep, but in the morning they're like grass. You know, it just sprouts anew, one generation after another, after another, after another, after another, after another. And in all those generations, the Lord is our habitation. He's unchangeable. Man sweeps away anew, he sprouts anew, but God is from everlasting to everlasting. Then in verse 6, he comes to the individual. He says again, in the morning it flourishes and sprouts anew. Toward evening it fades and withers away. Now he's not talking about mankind in general, he's talking about mankind individually. And so we too, now this is a general statement that the life of individual people are like flowering grass. In other words, you go out in the morning, you got the nice blade, it's new, it's fresh, okay? You have flowers come up on that grass. I don't know if you've ever ridden down the road and seen wildflowers or grass that sprouts flowers, and you look at that, and you just see this vast carpet of grass, this vast carpet of flowers, and you just say to yourself, that's beautiful. You go by a couple of months later, dead. The whole thing's brown, the flowers are withered. That's like man. That's like our brevity of life. And who wrote this psalm? Moses wrote this psalm. And brethren, that illusion that man is grass is going to show up two more times in the book of Psalms. It's going to show up 2 times in the prophet Isaiah. It's even going to show up in 1 Peter and the book of James. So what I'm saying here is that when the Bible uses an illusion like that, that illusion is what sticks from that moment all the way through our Bibles. Hallelujah for that. So man is like grass. You know, in general, when babies are born, they're healthy. Don't you love to see them grow up? I mean, everything is new and exciting. I know there's times you don't like to see them grow up, but in general, you know, they're walking, they're moving, they're learning new things. Okay, they get into teenage years, they get to high school, maybe they do sports, maybe they become warriors like they would David, learning how to do a sling, or David attacking Goliath, you know. They're youthful, they're strong, right? Then, all of a sudden in the 20s, the ladies stop counting their years. You get to 30 and you start thinking, you know what? I just can't do like I used to do when I was 20. You get to be 40, and what everybody says, every time I turn a new decade, they always say, well, this is the decade that you really go downhill. Okay, but there's just this gradual going where? Downhill. In fact, it gets so gradual. You talk about fading and withering away. We actually get wrinkles. That looks like withering, doesn't it? You can look at somebody, you look at their face, you look at their wrinkles, and you say, they really look, what?
Old.
Old. In fact, ladies will go, and they'll try to fake life. You know, they go, let's stretch my wrinkles out, and let's have plastic surgery so nobody can see that I have wrinkles and my body's fading away. So you have a body that doesn't look like it's fading away, but it still fades away. Maybe you used to be able to walk a mile in 20 minutes. Now you're hunched over. Now you can still walk that mile, but it might take you 40 minutes. After a while, you get to the place where you can walk that mile, but when you get home, you got to take a 2-hour nap. What's happening? Folks, what's happening? You're fading, right? Your body is fading. It's wearing what? It's wearing out. Now, when you're young, you think, that'll never happen to me. Guess what? It will. It will. Regardless of what you do, regardless of what you eat, regardless of how you keep your health or don't keep your health, fading and withering away will happen. It can happen fast. It can happen slow. I've seen people who have serious illness, and they just get hit with it. And they may look, you know, they may be 65 or 70. They might look like, you know, 60 or 62, but they look healthy and get along. They get hit with a heart condition, or they get hit with something that they have to take chemo. And after you know, the surgery and after all that, they come out of that hospital and they look like they aged. Right? It can happen fast, it can happen slow, but it happens. And folks, it happens. Man loves to deny this. I pray that you won't deny this. My father did not know the Lord, but my wife and I would have a chuckle, not at his expense, but just with ourselves. He had terminal cancer for almost 9 years before he succumbed to that terminal cancer. And he even got to the place where, you know, he couldn't really walk around the neighborhood anymore, just kind of stayed in the house. But if you asked him how he was doing, he would say, "Great! I'm strong and healthy." I'm like, "Dad, you got terminal cancer." He didn't want to hear that. He did not want to acknowledge that he was fading and withering. And brethren, I think that in our sinful nature, there's a little rebellion against that. There's a little rebellion about getting older, getting weaker. We don't want that to happen. And I don't think you should pray for it. It's going to what? It's going to happen. But I do think that we have a tendency to be rebellious about this. We don't want that to happen. But it's going to happen. And it really is a sign that if, as a believer, that you're getting close to going home. Doesn't that sound nice? Doesn't that sound like a nice word? When I was working in engineering, I used to think, I can't wait just to go home. Okay? Even as a pastor, sometimes you say, I just want to leave the study, go home. It's like a safety place. That's what heaven is. It's our home. Now, I want us to turn very quickly to six passages of Scripture. I want you to turn to Psalm 37. Book of Psalms, 37, where this is reference to. Now, here in Psalm 37, it's in reference to wicked people. But he says in Psalm 37, verse 1, "Do not fret because of evildoers. Do not be envious toward wrongdoers. Why? For they will wither quickly like what? Like the grass, and fade like the green herb." What's the Lord telling us? Don't fret about wicked people. Why? They're going to fade what? They're going to fade away. They're going to wither away. I always think about some of the wicked people that we have in places of authority, in our government. And even without naming names, just think about how aged they are. And think about how strong they think they are. Think about how it wouldn't take anything for the Lord to cut that off at a moment. just fading away, withering away. This is the way wicked people are. Go over to Psalm 103. Psalm 103, verse 14. Talks about the Lord having compassion on those who fear Him. Verse 14, for He Himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. As for man, his days are like what? The grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. You know, a flower of the field really has a glory attached to that, right? Has a beauty attached to that. And you remember our Lord referred to this when he talked about Solomon in all of his adornment, right? Wasn't like the grass of the field, the flower of the field that God adorns every day. One day it's here, next day it's what? It's gone. Don't you think he would clothe you, O ye of little faith? Here's our Lord making reference to what Moses wrote in Psalm 90. Go over to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Lord willing, we're going to be in this chapter for our Lord's Supper service this coming Lord's Day afternoon. But look at verse 6. A voice says, call out. Now he's talking about John the Baptist. A voice says, call out. Then he answered, what shall I call out? What does man need to hear? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows upon it, surely the people are what? Grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands how long? Now, folks, what we hear is this. Our days are like grass. Here's how it goes. You ready? It sprouts anew. It grows. It flowers. It wilts. It dies. Isn't that man? That's the stages of man. And the beautiful thing about it is the word of our God stands forever. The word of God is not like man. If our Lord is from everlasting to everlasting, what about his word? Does his word just grow and flower and wilt and die? No. The word of God does not rest. It doesn't fade away. It isn't gone. If God said something in the book of Deuteronomy, if it's a promise and he said it, it's still living. Your Bible is still living. Hallelujah for that. And so here's how man, and you notice that Isaiah, now Isaiah's preaching this, okay, that Isaiah has to say to man twice, the grass withers, the flower fades. Verse 8, the grass withers, the flower fades. Are you getting it? That we're temporary. Right? We're temporary on this earth. But who is from everlasting to everlasting? So don't you think, brethren, we should fear God and not men who are temporary? That's the argument that he's giving to us here. Go over to Isaiah 51. Isaiah 51 in verse 12. I, even I, am he who comforts you. Who are you that are afraid of man who dies, and of the Son of Man who is made like grass, that you have forgotten the Lord your Maker? Isn't it amazing that we care more about people than we do about God? You think that's true? You think people are more concerned about the now and now and the people around and how they look and how people look at them and who promotes them and who thinks they're okay and who approves them and who doesn't approve them? But when it comes to God, not interested in Him at all. Oh, foolish man. And so here again, you got the reference. 1 Peter chapter 1, you should have immediately thought about 1 Peter when he talks about the word of God, verse 23 of chapter 1. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is through the living and enduring word of God. For, then he quotes Isaiah 40, all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now note this, this is the word which is preached to you. So if that word lives inside of you, how long will it live? Forever. That's eternal security, is it not? Hear God from everlasting to everlasting, His word from everlasting to everlasting. And then lastly, the book of James, chapter 1. We'll begin in verse 9. He says, but the brother of humble circumstances is to glory in his high position. And the rich man is to glory in his humiliation. Why? Why should a rich man glory in his being humbled? Because like flowering grass, he will do what? He will pass away. Look at verse 11. For the sun rises with a scorching wind and withers the grass, and its flower falls off, and the beauty of its appearance is destroyed. So too the rich man in the midst of his pursuits will fade away. Folks, how much of a rich man's riches, his glory, what he loves, what is beautiful to him, how much of that goes with him? None. So why should we be concerned if we lose some riches? Because riches are temporal. To gain the eternal riches, which is Christ. Amen? That's what he's arguing here. And the argument is all from Moses, the oldest psalm. You want to compare the length of days of God, compare it to the length of days of man. Well, 1,000 years in God's sight is insignificant. Well, if 1,000 years is insignificant, what about 70? What about 80? What if you say, I get to live 94, I'm somebody. Look at what I did. You're going to fade away and wither away. And doesn't it make sense that since man was not created to die, right? He had a body that was able to die, but he was not created to die. Wouldn't it be of sound advice to pay our attention to the one who is eternal, Christ Jesus himself? Let's go to our Lord as we